Fontes, podcast di cultura pagana del Giorno Pagano Europeo della Memoria.
Hello everybody, this is Manuela Simeone speaking, and I welcome you to this new episode of Fontes, the podcast about pagan culture of Radio GPM. In the Pagan Memory Day calendar, the month of May is dedicated to the discovery of gods and goddesses. So, today we are going to talk about Ares, what Ares is, and what his relation with the Roman Italic god Mars is. As said, what Ares is, because, as Walter Otto said better, the ancient Greek religion, and so the other so-called pagan religions, are religions of reality, in which the presence of the gods can be perceived in the surrounding world, in ourselves, in our actions, and in the other's action, and in the events of the world. So, the religion, as a whole of deities and practices, is a consequence of a specific worldview, so we can try to understand what Ares meant in that word. We are used to say that Ares is the god of warfare, but in epic poems like the Iliad, we find many other gods and goddesses, like Athena, having to do with the war. So, Ares can't be simply the god who presides over wars. This would be a Christianized vision, according to which a god is outside the things he creates or causes, while a pagan god is the divine essence of something. We usually attribute some features to the whole Greek religion, even when those features are more typical of a part of the Greek religion. We forget what we have just said, that the pagan religion is a religion of reality and therefore derives from a worldview which can be different from city to city and from region to region. Those of you who remember something about Greek history certainly remember that Greek cities are called city-states, that Greece didn't reach a political unity until Alexander, that there were different Greek dialects and populations, each of them having its own peculiarities, like Athens and Sparta. They were different. So, we shouldn't be surprised if the city of Tegea called Ares the god of women, and if in the city of Trezene, the god and the Amazons were worshipped together. We are certainly less surprised to see him worshipped together with Aphrodites. Ares' temples usually hosted also a cult to the goddess. In mythology, they are lovers. All these relations should help us to understand Ares more, since every divine character must be considered inside the web of relations with other characters in a pantheon, because they are all part of a same worldview. This is the first piece of the puzzle, Ares' relationship with Aphrodites, with which he had three children, part of this puzzle too. They are Phobos, that means fear, Deimos, that means terror, and harmony. Ares is also linked to feminine fertility. Let's now look at the literature. In ancient texts, Ares is defined hateful to men and gods because of his link with blood and battle. But he also has a positive side, as we can read in the Homeric hymn. It's the eighth hymn, and says, Ares haughty in spirit, heavy on chariot, golden-helmed, grim-hearted, shield-bearer, city-savior, bronze-armored. Toe of arm, untiring, spare strong, bulwark of Olympus. Father of victory in the good fight, ally of law, oppressor of the rebellious, leader of the righteous. Separate king of manliness, as you wheel your fiery circle among the seven coursing lights of the ether, where your flaming steeds ever keep you up on the third orbit. Hearken, helper of mankind, giver of the brave young manhood, and gleam down your kindly flare from on high into my life, and marshal strength, so that I might chase bitter wickedness away from my head, deflect the soul-deceiving impulse in my thoughts, and restrain the sharp force of appetite that provokes me to embark on chill conflict. Blessed one, grant me courage to abide the innocuous principles of peace, escaping battle with my enemies and the perils of violence. This is taken from Homeric Hymns, Homeric Apocrypha, Lives of Homer, edited by Martin L. West, London, Harvard University Press, 2003. Those of you who know better the other Homeric hymns will see how much different this hymn is. All other hymns, in fact, celebrate a god through a myth, while this is an invocation closer to Neoplatonic and Orphic hymns. The text can be dated to a later period, and according to some scholars, its author could be Proclus or Plotinus. Maybe the scribe who copied the Byzantine anthology from which we know those hymns made a mistake and put here one of Proclus' hymns we also find in the anthology. The Orphic hymn to Ares is very similar. I won't read it here or else the program will become too much long. But the scheme is the same. A series of adjectives and a final call to the peace that nourishes the young. Pagan gods often are two-sided. They are something, but they protect their contrary. So Ares is related to the warfare, but protects the peace. And Artemis, goddess of woods and wild beasts, protects animals, but also protects hunters. This Ares evoked in the hymn is the Neoplatonic and Orphic Ares, that is the Thymos. It's the Greek word for heart, courage. Here we don't find a relation with Aphrodite, nor a link to Athena. Athena often is opposite to Ares, like in the Iliad, where the goddess reminds him she is stronger. In the Iliad there is another Ares, fighting, bloodthirsty, and defeated by Athena, who is a goddess of warfare too, since she is born from the head of Zeus with weapons in her hands. Let's step back for a while to the conception of pagan religion as a religion of reality, conveying a perception of the divine in the world. What else expresses a population's worldview? The language. The ancient Greek language is rich in adjectives and nouns. In Greece, philosophy was born, and philosophy is the description of concepts and ideas. And description is made by adjectives. So we can find among the Greeks a particular attention toward concepts, and this attention expresses also in the perception of gods. Look at Hesiod's Theogony. From the cows, Erebus and Night are born, and Night gives origin to day, blame, misfortune, nemesis, dispute, deceit, and so on. As we can see, these gods express the same concept expressed in their names. So why shouldn't we think that also the Olympic gods are the divine expression of an idea? Aphrodite, the seduction, is a very powerful titan. She is Uranus' daughter, and as a titan, a goddess of primitive human feelings, like Temi, another titan goddess, is the justice in itself, different from Dike, who is the justice according to human laws. Aphrodite and Ares give birth to harmony. We can have harmony between two opposites, and the opposite of seduction, Aphrodite, is the imposition. Ares is also opposite to Athena. who is the planning intelligence or the strength directed toward an aim. She was born with a shield and spear from the head of Zeus, who had swallowed Metis, whose name means intelligence. Ares is considered bloodthirsty, but in other contexts he has to do with women's fertility, which is linked to the blood too. So, who is Ares? Ares is the brutal force, an explosive force, and his name comes from the linguistic root that means violence, damage. Burckhardt says that Ares was at the beginning an abstract noun meaning throng of battle, war. Ares is the throng of battle. It's hateful because it kills, but according to the Orphics and the Neoplatonics, can be the prelude for peace. And according to some Greek cultures, he is also that explosive force we can see when a woman gives birth to a child. That has to do with the blood, too, and is an expression of fertility. That's not very easy to explain, because the intuition of the divine in the word isn't easy to explain by the reason. That's why the ancient Greek language is so rich in adjectives and nouns and creates philosophy. Later, Ares was compared to Mars. The Romans themselves made the comparison and took on Mars some Greek myths about Ares. But was Mars originally the same god? When I presented the documentary about Hercules, many people laughed at me because I said that Hercules, not Heracles, Hercules, was an Italic god, and they thought I was an ignorant or a person wishing to claim to the Italic people something that didn't belong to them. This happens because people don't consider what a pagan god or a pagan pantheon really is. A pantheon expresses the worldview of a specific culture. Hercules is an Italic god not because of his name, which he has certainly in common with the Greek Heracles, but because of what he represents. Hercules has some features that Heracles doesn't have, so even though their names have the same origin, these figures don't express the same part of the world, so they are originally different gods. Hercules is linked to healthy water, and Heracles not. Nobody today would still call Mercury the main god of Celts and Germans, like Caesar did. But we agree to do that with Greek and Roman gods, because of the tight bond between cultures. Why don't we look more inside this culture? Greek and Latin are different languages too. We say that Greek is rich in adjectives and nouns, and that in Greece philosophy was born. Latin philosophic words are borrowed from Greek language because Latin is richer in verbs than in nouns. But in translations we often can't appreciate the subtle difference among certain verbs. So the Latin worldview focuses on action. So in the Roman pantheon we find gods and goddesses, especially those of the origins, who express the divine part of an action. One of the earlier names of Mars was Gradivus, a word that comes from the verb gradior, that means to walk. So Mars is called he who walks, maybe referring to the Ver Sacrum ceremony, dedicated to the god, in which young males of a population left their city to found a new one. The Sali, priests of Mars in Rome, honored the god leaping and dancing. Farmers used to make three animals walk around their property three times and then sacrifice them to the god. Dumézil says that in spite of this, Mars can't be considered the god of agriculture. Dumézil adopted the theory of tripartition, according to which a deity could be only a god of sovereignty or a god of warfare, or a god of home and agriculture, but this idea comes from the theory according to which the Hindu civilization was the source of all Indo-European civilizations, a theory which is today outdated. Today, this tripartition is considered too strict, and, from a pagan point of view, doesn't consider that the Roman gods are actions, nor it considers the linguistic side of the matter. According to linguists, a god can't take origin from another when the names don't have the same root. So, in this sense, we could say that Mars has to do with agriculture, because he has to do with the walled city life, but we can't say he's a god of agriculture or fertility. An ancient Latin religious poem known as Carmen Aruale and written about in the 4th century before current era calls Mars. The Arval brethren were priests dedicated to the field fertility, and their name comes from the Latin word arua, that means fruits. Just one single verse of this Carmen makes us understand the difference between Mars and Ares. The verse says, "Be satisfied, fierce Mars, jump on the threshold, stay there." Three verbs in one verse. While in the original version of the Homeric hymn to Ares, the first verb referred to Ares is in the second half of the poem. So, what is Mars doing? He moves on the threshold and stays there, holding, because Mars is the fighting, is the action of fighting. He is the divine part of the action. A field can be protected against enemies, but also against the parasites or everything that prevents the growth of the harvest. Ceres is the growth of the harvest. Mars is the defense. He is also the defense of the city, of family, and so on. Mars also had an important role in fusions between Roman gods and Celtic ones, but we should talk about this somewhere else. As we saw, Ares and Mars are similar, but not equals, because they come from different, similar but not equal, cultures. But they both are pagan gods, and the interpretatio that united them didn't imply any charge of heresy. Here ends this episode of Fontes. For any questions you may have, please write us at radiogpm@giornopaganomemoria.it, and see you in the next episode.